You have been listening to The Faith Connection with Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church in San Antonio.
Welcome to The Faith Connection.
We pray this message has been a blessing to Living Faith Community Church.
To hear the rest of this sermon
or to donate to our ministry, please visit our website at salivingfaith.org. Thank you for listening to The Faith Connection.
But there's a word from the Lord. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Text reads as thus. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. They fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said it would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there." This morning, I want to encourage our hearts on this resurrection day from the thought resurrection, hope for tomorrow, and help for today. I love music. Various genres of music. But my favorite genre of music is gospel music. I love songs and I love sermons that encourage our hearts about what's yet to come. Those songs that talk about heaven and some call it the by and by. Remember this song? "Well, children, by and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. And we'll tell the story how we overcome. And we'll understand it better by and by." And how about this? "Should there be any rivers we must cross? Should there be any mountains we must climb? God will supply all the strength that we need. Give us strength till we reach the other side. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King." Anybody really glad about it? Don't fool me now. That you love songs about heaven and the by and by. It won't always be like this. Jesus' resurrection gives us hope for tomorrow. But can I be honest with you? A whole lot of us talking about heaven, but the truth is, we're not in a rush to get there. Any witnesses in the house today? I want to go. I want to go. I want to see his face, but I don't have to see it this afternoon. But the truth is, when we think about resurrection, that our minds usually think about salvation, that Jesus died for us. He got back up with all power in his hands. And it's his resurrection power that saves us. And it will one day cause us to live in eternity with him. But how does this truth help me when we have to deal with Hades down here right now? That we're on our way up there, as we say. But how can we view resurrection? How can we see resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus? How can we develop an outlook that can help us while we're down here? Some of y'all still remember the award-winning movie by Alice Walker, The Color Purple. I know I'm dating myself. And Maybe some of y'all have seen the stage play, you're going to New York, or maybe you've seen the movie where they singing all through the show. Y'all like that, but that ain't my favorite one. That ain't, they can sing all they want. But y'all remember how Seeley gives Harpo this bad advice about beating his strong-willed, sturdy-built wife into submission. That he makes this unsuccessful attempt, and you can see it in the movie because he's got a black eye. Oh yeah, Paul, it was that mule. It was that mule Joey, Paul. It was that mule. No, he got whooped. He got scallywanked. But y'all remember Sophia's words. She says, a girl child ain't safe in a family of men. But I never thought I'd have to fight in my own house. I love Hoppo. God knows I do. But I... Oh, y'all... Y'all know the movie. I'll kill him dead before I let him beat me. And then I love Celia's response. It's an interesting response. She says this life soon be over. Heaven lasts always. How do we grapple with the fact that our salvation and eternity with God, that it's secure because of our belief in Jesus Christ, but in the here and the now, that we have to deal with the reality of living in a broken world filled with loneliness, rejection, abuse, and loss, and pain? How do we grapple with and struggle with the reality that our children should never leave here before we do? How can resurrection, the life in the by and by in heaven in the then and there, help me right now? When I got problems and pain, as the Apostle Paul points out in Romans chapter 8, he said it's the picture of present suffering against the backdrop of a future hope. The trouble don't last always, but I declare there's trouble in this world. Do I have any witness? There's trouble in this world that weeping may endure for a night. But has anybody else ever wondered how long is the night? So here in the text, we find that the Sabbath has ended, but so has Jesus' life, that he died on Calvary's cross. And I think it's important at this time in this season that we probably stop, maybe do some reading, look at the historical facts of what crucifixion was really like. I know some of us have probably seen the movies on television, the crucifixion of Christ, but even as gory as that is, it still doesn't give us an adequate picture of what Jesus went through for you and for me. The crucifixion was brutal. It was bloody. It was barbaric. It was bad, real bad. That before he ever went to the cross, that Jesus had already been beaten beyond recognition. That they took a whip, and this whip had steel balls on the whip, and they beat his body from the top of his neck to his feet. They would beat him, causing pain and contusions, and they keep beating him. And on these same whips, they had animal bone. And when they beat him, they would rip the flesh from his body. And he was bloodied. This was before the cross. And they took a wooden beam and they stretched his arms. They stretched his arms so wide that they would have been pulled out of socket. And they took these nails, and not the sharp type, and we say they put them in his hands, but medical professionals say they would have put them in his wrist. And they didn't have a sharp end. It was a rounded end, and they would hammer it through his wrist to make sure that if it were in his hands would have ripped apart and he would have fallen off the cross. But they would have gone into his wrist. They put nails in his feet. This is the Jesus, this is God, in the flesh that died, went to Calvary's cross and died for you and for me. That's right. That as they put him on that cross, y'all, that he'd have to hold his body up because when he got tired and he'd drop his head and go down, that he could not breathe. And so he's always pushing himself on the cross until finally he got tired.
He said, Father, it's finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He hung his head and he died for you and for me. This is crucifixion. In the Latin, crucifere, excruciating. That's where we get that word excruciating. His pain was excruciating and he died for you and for me. But it wasn't over. And only as God would have it, y'all, looking at our story today, that God would use these female first responders to show up at the grave. I thank God for the mothers in the church. I thank God for the women that held it down and held it together. Brother, I'm not talking about y'all, but I come from a family history where the mothers held it together in the church. And so only as God would do, he shows us these female first responders. It was Mary. It was Mary and the other Mary. And if you bear out the text and you read some of the other gospels, there were other women that were with them. They showed up at the tomb of Jesus for the purpose of preparing his body for burial by anointing him with spices. Just two days earlier, this group of women, they were there. They were at the foot of the cross. They would have seen all this stuff taking place. They would have seen how Jesus died on the cross. It was up close and personal to them. Can you imagine how emotional they must have been in that very moment? They had given up their lives for the cause of Christ. And they thought that he would be this Messiah, this great one that would come into Rome and destroy Rome and raise the Jews back up to power. But now about this time, any hopes that they may have, any hope, their hopes would have been dashed. You know, it's difficult for anyone then and now to think that death is not the end. Can there still be hope with death? Not really. Not unless God steps into the picture. And hallelujah, Reverend Mike Boykin, he did. And he stepped in a powerful way. It's Jesus' resurrection that gives us our distinctly Christian outlook on life. We need to know that and understand that. That Confucius, come here. No, Confucius is dead. Muhammad, where are you? Muhammad is dead. But when I call on the name of Jesus, I'm calling on the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He's not dead. He's yet alive. The resurrection of Jesus is a fact from history past, and by faith, a promise of our future. However, how we view it, how we look at it today can provide us with daily relief in the here and the now. That we have to learn how to look at what I call Easter eyes. Look through the eyes of resurrection in the here and now and see what God can do for you, what Jesus can do for you today in the here and now with the pain and the problems that you're dealing with. So how did it change the view of these faithful women at the tomb? And how can we have the same experience? And I'm glad you want to know. So as we lean in on this story this morning, these women who encountered this angel and this alive Jesus, I just believe, y'all, that they can show us something about what it looks like to have an outlook, to have Easter eyes that can change our lives in the here and now. The first thing I want to point out to us is just real quick, that having these Easter eyes, looking through the eyes of resurrection, y'all know what it can do for us? It can calm your nerves. I won't read it now, but look at the first five verses again. Pour over it. That you'll find in these first five verses that there's this seismic activity that takes place. There's this earthquake. There's this angelic visitation, and you know, the light shone and bright, and he had his clothes on, and these bright clothes on, and all this stuff is taking place. Living men became as dead men. And you look at you look at Matthew chapter 27, listen, dead men came from the grave. They got up from the grave. This was nothing less, y'all, than miraculous. The angel speaks, and he says, don't be afraid. Some of us might think, if I'm in this story, that's easier said than done. But of course, these women were nervous. They were afraid. But the first words, the first syllables of resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the words are, don't be afraid. Some 365 times you find "fear not" or "don't be afraid" in the Bible. Out of the 365 days of the year. So I think on this resurrection day, that's the Lord's word to us. Don't be afraid. Cancer in your body. Treatments have been hard. But he says, don't be afraid. Loved ones are gone. And you're still hurting. And sometimes you feel like you can't face tomorrow. But he says to you today, don't be afraid. You don't know if the job is going to hold out. You don't know if your mate is going to stay there. They're going to walk out the door. But he's saying to you today, don't be afraid. Many of us are so subconsciously dominated by fear and worry and anxiety. You know, anxiety disorders are at the top of the list of disorders in our country today, according to the World Health Organization. The people are popping pills like Skittles. Xanax and Ativan and Valium and Cymbalta and Paxil and all this other stuff. If that don't help, you can get some wacky weed. And that you can overindulge in Cavassier and Hennessy and all because we're trying to calm our nerves. And there's a whole lot of stuff in this world that can get on our nerves. The economic challenges that we deal with, political chaos, the potential of war, the random shootings that we see all the time, that we send our children to school and we wonder, will they make it back home safely? Yeah. Yeah. Not long ago, I was at a restaurant and a young man comes into the restaurant, y'all. Young dude carrying a backpack. Now, I'm not being nosy. I just want to know. He comes in by himself, and he looked like he was mad at something to me. That maybe it's just my imagination, just running away. But he sits the bag down, and he sits in the chair. And I'm sitting. I have some family members there with me, and I didn't say anything to them, but I'm watching. I'm watching everything. I'm looking. And I'm just being honest with y'all. You know, I'm not trying to be nosy. I'm just wondering what's going on. And so he gets up and he disappears to the back. I think he went to the restroom. And so let me now be honest. I got up from my chair. I didn't say anything to my family. So I got to go because I'm trying to go and see what he's going to do. I just want to know. And so before I could get to he comes out and he has his work uniform on. And the folk just say, he just changing his clothes. And the folk, hey, man, what's going on? This your shit. Hey. But listen, y'all laugh if you want. I'm not by myself. Some of y'all walk up in the restaurant and say, look, give me a seat with my, I don't want my back to the front door. I want to see everything that's coming in. But that's the society we live in. And we all need something. Or should I say someone that can calm our nerves? And what we have to do is think about the reality of resurrection and the joy that it should bring in our lives. That it should not bring, and it does not bring fear, but it brings joy into our lives. Don't be afraid. The voice of a resurrected Jesus speaks to his disciples and to us today that he will be with us until the end of the world, Matthew 28 and 20. That we have to listen for the voice of Jesus. Have you ever flown on a plane? And all of a sudden you're in the air and then there's turbulence. That it feels like the plane is out of control. And so you might take your seatbelt that you've already got on it and put it a little bit tighter. You might decide to grab the arms of the chair and begin to squeeze down on them. Maybe you read a book to take your mind off of the turbulence and the fact that the plane seems like it's out of control. And then the captain comes on that loudspeaker, ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing a little bit of turbulence and don't worry, we're going to reduce the altitude. We're going to change the altitude and we'll have everything smoothed out in just a minute. Now that's it. Stay in your seat. Now, notice something. The turbulence doesn't change instantly. That the plane still seems like it's going topsy-turvy. But there's something about the voice of the captain who comes on the loudspeaker, who tells you in essence, don't worry, I'm in control. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm on your street today. Because the captain of your soul wants to let you know today, in the turbulence of life, in the storms of life, if you just listen for his voice, just listen for the voice of Jesus, it will calm your nerves. Are you listening for his voice today? Because of resurrection, you can have steady nerves, calm nerves, no matter the turbulence, no matter the storm in your life. And your outlook on resurrection can also it can blow your mind. Look at verse 6 for a minute. Look at verse 6. The angel says, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said he would. Come see where his body was lying. Can you imagine how awestruck these women were? How full of wonder and amazement that this angel appears and tells them that Jesus is, he's not dead, that he got up from the grave. The resurrection of Jesus should always be a wonder in our souls. That's what I mean when I say blowing your mind. That we ought to be excited, that we ought to be amazed, the fact that Jesus got up from the grave. Never lose your wonder of Jesus. Hear what I'm saying. Never lose your wonder and your amazement and your excitement about what Jesus has done for you and for me. Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul seeks to comprehend the mysteries of God's mercy towards all human beings. How many of you know God has been merciful? And so as he seeks and struggles with this mystery of God's mercy, he breaks forth in praise. He says, oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. Again, how many know today that God has been merciful, that God has been good? Amen. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, Christ came and he died for us. He got up from the grave. So out of all the things that we're excited about, we get excited about. Young ladies, you might get excited about a young man. And young men, you might get excited about a young lady. That some of us love nature, that you get excited when you take cruises and you see the ocean or you see mountains and trees. We get excited about a lot of things. But if there's anything or anyone we should get excited about, it ought to be the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That I shouldn't have to pump you and prime you to praise God. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Let him blow your mind. Be filled with wonder and amazement. As it relates to the resurrection, it was evangelist. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Amen to that. It was evangelist Gypsy Smith that said this. I've never lost the wonder. I've never lost the wonder. Don't lose your wonder. Don't lose your excitement. Don't lose your amazement. And I see it in this church every Sunday. Because there are certain people and names we won't call, but there are certain of us, listen, from the start of the worship service to the end, that they're filled with wonder and amazement. They continue to praise God, lift up his name, blessed, tears falling from their eyes, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. In the words of the Swedish hymnist Carl Borberg, he said, and when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarcely can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art. How great. Does anybody believe he's a great God today? Can you give him a praise in the house today? A great God deserves a great praise. There's nobody like our God. Don't lose your wonder. Don't lose your amazement. Don't lose your excitement about what Jesus did for you and for me. So today we come to the empty tomb. And we should come every day and wonder at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Let it blow your mind. Be amazed. And also let it calm your nerves. And also let it open your mouth. And now, I'm at verse 7 and 8. And now, go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. And what did the women do? The women went quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. You have noticed in the text how quickly they turned around to go and give the message. That the angel says, go and tell them. They jump up and they start running. That's pretty quick. These women went immediately to share their good news. It was good news at bad time because the word on the street that Jesus had died. But the truth was he had gotten up from the grave. Anybody remember the story of the Samaritan woman and Jesus, their meeting at the well in John chapter 4? After she had this radical encounter with Jesus, who tells her all about her life and compares her to experience his life-giving water of truth, the Bible says this, then leaving her water pot, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I have ever did. Could this be the Messiah? How much more should we who have tasted the goodness of Jesus, we've had an encounter and experience with him, tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a message that demands great sharing. Anybody remember, again, I keep dating myself, anybody remember Miss Benita Boutrell? From Living Color. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on. So for the young people that don't know in the house that Living Color was this hit live TV comedy show. And Miss Benita Boutrell, she was a neighborhood gossip. Y'all know. She put everybody's business on the street. And she was the original person to throw shade, you know. And said, Miss Jenkins, don't nobody talk about Miss Jenkins. And she go in on Miss Jenkins. I'm glad we don't have any Benita Boutrells in the house. We don't have gossipers. We don't have those folk in the house. And after she talked about everybody, she would say at the end of her skit, I ain't the one to gossip, so you didn't hear it from me. Truth of the comedy skit, don't be a gossip. Don't put folk business in the street. But here's what I believe. Don't let it be said of you and me that when it comes to the gospel, that you didn't hear it from me. Did you hear what I said? Don't let it be said of you and me that when it comes to telling people about Jesus Christ, oh, you never heard it from me. I don't want to stand before the Lord someday and him to talk to him and say, I never heard you talk about me. That we ought to be the kind of people when we understand the goodness of the Lord that we'll tell it wherever we go. When we're in the grocery store on the bread aisle and somebody walks through here, and yeah, the bread is fresh, but let me tell you about the bread of life and what he can do for your life. You're going down the candy aisle, getting you something sweet, maybe getting you some cookies, and somebody else is on that. Can I remind you that he's sweet, I know? He's sweet, I know. Can I tell you about Jesus? When you go to the UPS store, the FedEx store, and you got a delivery of a package, or the Amazon man shows up with a delivery, can I tell you about a deliverer? That his name is Jesus? That I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to tell it wherever I go. Because of what he's done for me and for you, we ought to open our mouths, let it blow our minds, let it calm our nerves. And I'm just about done. The last thing is this. That when we look through resurrection eyes, Easter eyes, that we ought to let it elevate our expectation. The women were on their way to tell the disciples that Jesus had risen suddenly from the grave, and he wanted to meet them. One of the greatest things about resurrection, y'all, Jesus' resurrection, is that one day we're going to see him face to face. One day we'll see Jesus. There's hope for tomorrow. That's great hope. But there's also still help for us today. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the book of Acts chapter 1 says that two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here and staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from up to heaven, but someday he's going to return one day. We'll see Jesus once again. This is a fact. And this fact ought to elevate, lift our expectation and our hope. And the kind of hope I'm talking about is not some hope that's just shaky, but a hope that's certain that one day we'll see Jesus. We're on our way up there, but can we have a view and an outlook on the resurrection as a way to help us down here in the right now when we're dealing with pain and problems?
The writer of Hebrews chapter 6 emphasizes the reality that God's promises bring hope. Again, it's the hope of certainty that one day we'll see Jesus, that he's gone before us into the presence of God Almighty, entered into the inner sanctuary, and he is our high priest, and he intercedes on our behalf.
And this is our great hope. With certainty, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Jesus' resurrection gives us hope for tomorrow. One day we'll rise with him if we believe and worship and trust him. And as we look through the resurrection eyes, we can find that we can trust Jesus to help us today and every day. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles." Y'all know the scripture. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Will your anchor hold in the life and the here and now? Will your anchor hold when the storms of life come? And some of y'all dealing with some storms right now. Some of you all are dealing with some bad stuff, some horrible stuff in the here and the, it's Resurrection Sunday. And maybe somebody feels like your life is in ruin. Will your anchor hold? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cable strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? When we put our trust in Jesus, it will surely hold. In the floods of life, and death invades our lives. Problems invade our lives. Pain invades our lives. Abuse invades our lives. Your anchor will hold as long as your anchor is anchored in the Lord. So we have a reason, y'all. We have a reason to trust and worship the resurrected Jesus Christ today. He is your hope for tomorrow. That he is the first and the last. That he is the beginning and the end. That he is the keeper of creation and all that's created. That he is the architect of the universe and the manager of time. That he will always, always be with us. He promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He is our hope for tomorrow. That he is unmovable and unchangeable, undefeated and never undone. That he was bruised and bought healing. That he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and bought freedom. Yeah, he's your hope for tomorrow, y'all. If you're going to shout at any point, now would be a good time to do it. Anybody know he's your hope for tomorrow? That he was dead, but he was brought to life. That he is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and he reigns forevermore. But he's also your help for today. When you fall, he'll lift you up. When you fail, he'll forgive you. When you're weak, he'll make you strong. When you're lost in him, you can find your way. When you're afraid, he will give you courage. When you stumble and fall, he'll pick you up again. When you're hurt, he'll heal you. When you're broken, God will mend you. When you face trials, he'll be with you. When you're persecuted, he'll shield you. When you face problems, he comforts you. When you face loss, he provides for you. When you face death, he carries you home. He is the resurrection and the light. He's everything to everybody, everywhere, at all times, in every way. And because of resurrection, because of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, he's our hope for tomorrow. Hallelujah. He's your help. Help for today.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Come on. Give God praise in the house. If you know he's your hope, give him praise. If you know he's your hope, if you know he's your help, give him praise. Give him. If you need help right now, call on him. Call on him. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on him. Call on him. Call on the name of Jesus, and he will help you. He'll help you. I declare he will. I declare he will. But that presupposes something. That if he's your hope and your help, it means putting your trust in him, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Is he Lord over your life? Does he reign supreme in your life? I'm glad that we're all here this morning. And thank God for those that are listening in on our online ministry that you're here this morning. But here's the truth. Next few minutes, you may not be here. We're talking this morning amongst the ministers about kind of how we live, view life sometimes. That we think we have the 70, that we're going to live to be the 80 years old. That's 70, though, isn't it? 70. Thank you. My mouth was wrong. But I need you to hear me, especially you hear me today. The young people are dying every day. They're leaving this world. And it's one thing for us to show up for a worship service on a Sunday, but here's what Jesus wants. He wants you to show up for him every day. Every day of your life. It means that he wants you to be committed to him, to serve him, to worship him, and to obey him. But in all of this, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. Have you put your trust in Jesus as the Savior and Lord of your life? You showed up today, and I'm grateful for that. But whether it's this church or don't let this be the last time. That when you leave through the doors today, show up for Jesus. When you go to your job, show up for Jesus. When you're driving down the highway and folk are cutting you off, show up for Jesus. When somebody in the marriage, when one spouse says something to the others, show up for Jesus and close your mouth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for your word today. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have hope for tomorrow. But when we look through the eyes of faith and the eyes of resurrection, when we look at our outlook on life with Easter eyes, that we can have help for today. That Jesus died to save us from our sins, but he left us with the comforter to keep us in the here and the now. So Father, we pray right now for those that may be believing on you for the very first time. Thank you for opened eyes and open hearts. God, that your word is true. That we have to confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of us. Believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead. And your word says that saves us, that settles it. So Father, thank you right now for any who may be coming to you by your power and by your spirit. For those that may be believing on you for the very first time. And God, we pray now for those that know you in the pardon of their sins, but they're not connected to a local church somewhere where they can worship and praise you, serve with other believers on a regular basis, grow in their faith. And we pray right now that you draw them by your spirit. Holy Spirit, do what only you can. We trust you and we thank you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give God praise in the house today one more time? Hallelujah. And so if you're here today and you pray this prayer of faith with us, and perhaps you're believing on Jesus for the very first time. Perhaps you have a relationship with him, but you're not connected to a church where you can fellowship with other believers, praise with other believers. Listen, Living Faith Community Church is a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. That we aren't a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. And so we invite you who are in the house today to become a part of this fellowship, to become a part of the kingdom of God first, if you haven't done that, and then to become a part of this fellowship. And so if you're here today, you see ushers that are standing in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. We have new member ministry advisors that have already left out there in a room across the hallway, room 1. So if you're in the house today, why don't you just get up from your seat? Follow one of our ushers to room 1. We'll gather some information from you. We'll welcome you with open arms. If you're tuned
in today to our online ministry. You're asking, how can I do that today? You can do that today. There is a new member ministry form that you can fill out. Fill that form out. And I promise you, on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you and we'll welcome you.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.